Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it
live. And
you
can follow us on social media. I'm at Chris_Broussard on Twitter. Chris_Broussard68 on Instagram. Rob is at RobParkerFS1 on both Twitter and the gram. All right, 16-7. Milwaukee up on Brooklyn midway through the first quarter. Giannis off to a hot start. He's had several dunks. But he's only 1 of 4 from the foul line. And, Rob, he airballed his last free throw.
I saw it. It was not pretty. And the first one was in the front rim, Chris. The second one didn't even touch rim.
Yep.
He's really messed up free throw-wise.
So now he entered 2 of 10, so he'd be, what, 3 of 14 from the line.
Yeah,
and he's not a good free throw shooter. But
he's
this
not
is,
that bad.
No, he's not this bad.
And they were down by 49 in game 2. If they don't have any kind of energy or no push to start game 3, right. You know what I mean? Like, this is to
right.
be expected.
Their thing is they got to sustain this, because you're right. If the Nets come back from this and, you know,
this will be
a
crushing,
close game
Chris.
At halftime.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll be tough for them, but we will see. All right, we got Kerry Kittles coming up at the bottom of the hour and then Inside the Parker to wrap up this hour of the Odd Couple. But before we get to those things, Rob, we're going to go to college football as we did earlier in the show. But this time we're going to talk about something that it's just horrible if it's true. And it's just a bad situation. And that is that Matt Schimbeckler, the son, adopted son. He was adopted, I believe, when he was 5 years old by Bo Schimbeckler, the legendary coach at Michigan. And he alleges that the team doctor, while Bo Schimbeckler was coaching at the university, sexually abused him. And many other students at the University of Michigan, football players and the like. Rob, what was it? Like 850 people?
The number is 8. It could be up to 800. That's the number.
Wow.
Which is just astonishing.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. So Matt, who now I believe is 62 years old,
had a press
conference today with two former Michigan football players who also alleged that they were abused by Anderson. And here's what Matt said.
My father sent me to Dr. Robert Anderson for my first physical exam around 1969. I was in the fourth grade, and I had to get a physical before starting tackle football with the junior Wolverines. Dr. Anderson was the team doctor, so that's where Bo sent me for my exam. As a 10-year-old kid, I didn't really know what to expect, but what Dr. Anderson did made me uncomfortable. He fondled my genitals and conducted an invasive rectal exam with his finger. I told my mom as soon as I got home, as I was uncomfortable and shaken. And after she had heard what Anderson did, she knew something was wrong, and she wanted me to tell my dad in her presence. When Bo got home, I told him what happened. That did not go well. Bo's temper was legendary, and he lost it. He screamed, "I don't want to hear this. I'm not hearing this." I tried to tell him repeatedly, but my effort earned me a punch in the chest. Oh. This was the beginning and the end of the relationship with him.
Well, Rob, you wrote a column today about it on Deadspin, the title, "If Bo Schimbeckler Turned a Blind Eye to Sex Abuse, Michigan Must Erase Him from School's History."
I think this is, we've seen this movie before, Chris, unfortunately. We saw it at Penn State. It
the
toppled
legendary
Joe Paterno, right? Lost everything, Chris. His statue came down. He was fired.
Because explain that quickly. His one of his assistant coaches,
defensive coordinator,
was abusing boys, and the evidence is that Paterno knew. He was told by
one of his coaches.
Coaches.
He was told
that,
and it was happening on campus. Chris,
yes, on campus, saw and heard the abuse in the showers.
Exactly. On the football showers, and Joe Paterno never called the police. and never did anything. And that's basically what we're hearing here. Bo Schembechler died in 2005. The doctor's been dead, Chris, for a while. But these are still things that people feel very strongly about and need to get out and let people know. And you might be asking yourself, well, why is this happening now? Because Michigan had an investigation that the details came out in May, Chris, that said that the players did report it and that it did go to people in the administration and nothing was done. Michigan is going to wind up having to pay for being for not being responsible and taking these matters into consideration and doing the right thing. These stories are horrific, Chris. They're graphic. And, you know, there's a lot of people. Here's where they'll go. Here comes the culture, cancel culture. Oh, no. This is not an excuse.
This has nothing to do.
And am I right, Chris? This has nothing to do.
This is absolutely nothing to do with cancel culture whatsoever. This is not about, because cancel culture is pretty much about political correctness. This isn't about political correctness.
This is about
sexual
abuse.
This is about human decency. Yes. Let me read this paragraph from the Detroit News, Rob. Anderson's alleged misconduct included unnecessary hernia and rectal examinations on patients who went to him for unrelated ailments. You go there because you got a sore throat and he's having you pull your pants down or something like that. Manual stimulation of male patients and arrangements in which he provided medical services in exchange for sexual contact.
This went on for years, Chris, for years. And, you know, Bo, you know this. Your daughter went to Michigan.
Yep.
He has a statue out in front of the football headquarters. His name is Schembechler Hall. He's revered. Michigan football is about Bo Schembechler, correct?
It is. Yes.
And for these college coaches, Chris, to turn, we saw what happened at Michigan State. They just had the same thing with a doctor up there.
Larry
who was abusing
Nassar?
All the gymnastics players and whatnot. And I think the pattern here, and I do believe this, that with all the information that Michigan now has, that with the investigation, the independent investigation, Chris, which said that players reported it back then, Bo knew about it, didn't do anything, the administration didn't do anything about it, they have to remove his name and statue from Michigan. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Football games don't matter. All that other stuff. And I know, you know, it was a part of your growing up for some people, and they felt good.
Even for you
about
and me,
that.
Right? It was a bit, I mean, I, not
everybody
that I was necessarily
knew Bo
a Michigan fan. Right.
Right.
He was a legend.
Absolutely. And everybody knows that. But the idea that this stuff went on, and anybody, Chris, could turn a blind eye to this, and then his own son to stand up there in a press conference, is that not compelling? How compelling is that? That his dad was mad at him for telling the truth. His mom was there. He went immediately knew that a doctor shouldn't be putting his finger, you know what I mean, where
he
did.
Right.
You knew that wasn't right, even
at
10 years old.
And you know part of the story was that, okay, so Schembechler, according to his son, punched him in the chest, sent him flailing halfway across the room is what the story said. And then Schembechler's wife, who told Bo, you're wrong, this is wrong, they went to, was it the AD?
Yeah.
The athletic director at Michigan.
Yeah. Don Cannon, I think his name
is. And he fired the doctor immediately. So he did the right thing. And Schembechler went and made sure that the doctor was reinstated. In other words, not fired. And Rob, I look, this is horrible. It's horrible on so many levels. I mean, first of all, just as a man to know that type of abuse is going on and you turned a blind eye to it. Is horrible.
I agree. I don't know how he slept with himself at night. Seriously.
Just as a man. Then as a football coach who has the power and the authority within the program, I don't see how you do that. Then, worst of all, they're all horrible, but you're a dad. Do you know what I would try to do to somebody if they sexually abused one of my children?
Right.
That your number one job, duty as a father is to protect your children. Number one. And if you don't do that, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how successful you are in corporate America, as a football coach, as an athlete, whatever you do for a living. You fail big time. If you don't protect, do your best. Sometimes something might happen and it was out of your control, but you better be doing your best to protect your child from predators like this. And the fact that he knew it happened or was told it happened and didn't care, apparently. Come on.
And here's the other part. Along with the son, Chris, which is, you know, I mean, testimony enough, right? In his words.
It's your son, right.
You have two other football players who get up there. Did you see one of the guys was in tears, Chris? This happened back in the 80s.
That's the type of thing that would scar you for life.
Yes, he's a grown man. He was in tears. You think that he wants to come out and talk about what went on? But this is the whole thing on how this stuff continues. Because people, I give these guys, they're heroes, Chris. Right, because the problem is most people are too ashamed to admit it happened to them. That's how
especially
the predators continue.
Men.
Yes, right. That's right. How they continue to do it.
Yeah,
because they don't want to tell anybody.
No, you're right, Rob. You're right. And I'm with you. I agree with your column. If this is true, then Bo Schembechler, he's got to be erased from Michigan. I'm sorry. He's got to be removed. Statue, name on the hall, everything. He's got to go.
Absolutely.
And this is nothing to do with political. That is wrong in every generation.
Thank you.
It's wrong
has
in
nothing
every
to
generation.
Do exactly. But Chris, you know what I'm talking about. There's going to be
every
people.
Country.
They're going to be like, "Oh, here we go. The cancel culture. They want to act like Bo Schembechler didn't exist." No, we know he existed, but we don't need to celebrate a guy who would turn his back on children when he recruited those kids, Chris. And you heard those two players. He promised my parents to take care of me.
Yep.
He promised them that if I came to play at Michigan, he would take care of me. And when they reported this stuff to Bo Schembechler, he turned his back on them. The one guy, he told them, Chris, toughen up.
Right.
The doctor did what with his fingers, and he was told to toughen up.
And here's the you're right. And here's the other thing, Rob. I mean, I don't care if he was the only doctor on earth. You get rid of him. But obviously, he's not. Bo Schembechler could have got any doctor he wanted. Why was this dude so important to the program that you couldn't go out and get another doctor that's not going to abuse your children, your children and your team, your players? You know, it's interesting, Rob. I mean, we grew up, you know, when I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and this time in the 70s, I was young. Man, I'd be 4 or 5 years old, Rob, and you probably the same with you. Out, down the street, up the block, like all
Chris,
different streets.
Everywhere.
Right?
Oh,
at 5
God.
Years old. Just hanging out. My parents don't know where I'm at, and they were great parents, but I'm just saying, that's how it was. And what happened is, you know, over time, people began to see that stuff like this was happening. And so now when my kids, Rob, and this is no exaggeration.
They never left the yard and never left your sight. I know,
they
right?
They were never out of my sight.
I
never
know
out
that.
Out of my sight.
I believe it. People won't
never
even let their
sight.
Kids go out the yard. Chris, we did the same thing growing up in Jamaica, Queens, in the city, in New York City. We would get on our bikes at 8 o'clock right. on a Saturday, Chris, and drive and ride all over Queens.
Yep.
No cell phone. That parents didn't know where we were, but you know what? We had to be back at 6 o'clock for dinner. That's the
yep.
only restriction that we had. But we used to be all over, riding all over everywhere, and it was a different time. But I'll tell you this. You know, the whole idea that these colleges, and we've seen this story, like I said, time and time again. And part of it, Chris, I honestly believe, is that when people get absolute power, it corrupts them. And when people aren't checked, that's why you have to have checks and balances, even for a president, or even, Chris, you run a company, right? There's a board of directors, right?
Yep.
They can't let you run amok and ruin the company or do whatever you want on a whim. And this is what I'm saying. On college campuses, these coaches are the end-all, be-all in these small towns. Chris, they run the police department, right?
Highest no paid one's gonna people in the state, right? Employees
everybody.
In the state.
Yes.
No, you're right. And that's one of the good things about our system is there. Even the president has checks and balances.
Can't you have to.
Doing whatever he wants to do. So you're right. All right, look, we're going to throw it out to you guys, as always, 877-99 on Fox. And look, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people agree with us. Feel free to call in. If you don't agree with us, call in. You know how we do. We're going to let you say your piece.
We want to hear from you.
But it'd be shocking to me if somebody disagrees. But if you do, like, hey, it's unfortunate, it's terrible, but I don't think they should take away the statue or whatever. Give us a call, 877-99 on Fox. It's your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. We're brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone's got more ways for you to start your job your way. That means getting what you need fast. Some jobs just can't wait, folks. That's why AutoZone offers free same-day store pickup, free next-day delivery on more than 100,000 parts. It's terrific. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. 877-99 on Fox. Rob, let's get to these calls. I'm interested to hear what they got to say.
Tony in West Virginia, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Tony?
Fellas, I'm a Michigan fan. Like, go Blue. But this guy needs to be kicked out as fast as Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. That statue is taken down ASAP.
Yep.
And I don't know how people like... I was a fan of the players, you know, like Tyron Wheatley, Desmond Howard. The players out there. I was never a diehard Bo Schembechler fan. This is just disgusting. It's terrible. Yeah, he needs to be kicked. This thing needs to be taken down as fast as Lucifer is kicked out of heaven. Like,
my man. There you go, Tony. Brother. Good call.
Yep. Appreciate it. John in Florida, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, John?
Hey, and thanks for having me on. I just want to say that it's important to scorn these people that didn't stand up, because if there are other people, like look at the Jeffrey Epstein thing, even if someone above you is doing something, it should be more important to stand up and risk everything. So we need to scorn these people that didn't do the right thing in the past, so that currently... anyone that's even close to the situation needs to do what they need, the right thing to
do. Because it'll be a deterrent to others to keep your mouth shut. That's part of what punishment is about, right?
It is. And also, it doesn't matter how big you are, Chris. Like, Bo Schembechler, they didn't do anything to him. No. Yes, they did. Just like Joe Paterno, right?
Yep.
Joe Paterno wasn't involved in the abuse, Chris. But not saying anything is that even as worse. It's just as bad, I should say. You know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, keeping your mouth shut. Perversion.
Yes.
You know, this isn't your guy, you know, drinks a little too much or whatever. You know, like, this is perversion. This is, and you're hurting other human beings that you are supposed to be looking out for.
And protecting. Sam in Seattle, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Sam?
Hey, this is just crazy because – this is like the fourth different university in the Big Ten.
Yep.
Ohio State with wrestling, Michigan State with the gymnastics doctor, now with Michigan and Penn State. It's just, what is the level of protection that you need throughout the whole university? Even USC had with their medical.
They had the same thing, yeah. Right. There was a situation as well, yep.
And that was just a doctor. Holy cow.
Right. I do think, and Rob, we sometimes get into old school, new school, stuff like that. And, you know, I there are things in the old school that I respect, and hard coaching and, you know, all that stuff was fine. But also, Rob, and you when we grew up, I mean, there was certain authority you just didn't question. And I think that's maybe part of this too. Like you said, people in authority, especially like a high ultimate level, they had carte blanche.
Right.
And they could just do whatever they want and they could do no wrong.
And they had your scholarship in their back pocket, Chris. And yep. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. If that coach isn't going to back you, you're in trouble. Right. And I just, every time I hear these stories, it's just mind boggling to me of the scope of it and yep. How many. We said it at the
800?
Top.
800?
800 potential. That 800 kids, boys, men, whatever, young men were violated by this guy. They call you know what his nickname, Chris? Did you see his nickname?
I didn't see what his nickname.
They called him Dr. Anus. Like that was his nickname. And coaches, assistant coaches,
if you didn't play well,
Chris, they said they would send you. Punishment was that they would send you to him. Like
oh,
they,
really?
It was like a, yes.
I didn't see all that. I got to read all that because I read the Detroit News.
Yeah, there was there's more in there today. And okay. and I read that on Sports Illustrated. There's a Sports Illustrated okay. story. I read the whole thing.
So they would send you to him as punishment.
Yes, it was like for punishment. Oh like God. They knew. And his nickname amongst players was Dr. Anus. That was his nickname.
Ugh. All right. It is the Odd Couple. We got Kerry Kittle's NBA veteran coming up in a moment. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, we got former NBA veteran now of Fox Sports Radio, NBA analyst Kerry Kittles. Kerry, what's up,
bro? Kerry, what up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
We're good, man. Good to have you. I'm sure you're watching the Brooklyn-Milwaukee game. So far, what do you make of this series? I mean, I thought you could argue going into it that this was the NBA Finals.
Like everybody said, it was going to be it.
These were the two best teams in the league. Are you surprised at what Brooklyn's been able to do to Milwaukee so far, especially without James Harden?
Yes, I am. Honestly, I thought that those two home games. I mean, Brooklyn played outstanding basketball, obviously. And the Bucks just didn't really show up. I think that, you know, that's been their nemesis, right, in the postseason. Just, you know, can Giannis figure it out in the postseason when teams are loading up on him, forcing him to shoot jump shots, which he doesn't really want to do. And then their role players, right? You know, they have some nice additions with Holiday and others to support them. But I don't know. The Nets are just playing outstanding basketball right now, and we'll see. If they sneak out one game here in Milwaukee, I think it'll be over in five.
How about a guy like Blake Griffin, who it looks like a rebirth, Kerry, just diving for loose balls, knocking down threes, dunking, whatever. Is that a great luxury to have a guy like that? Harden's out, and he's a third guy for you.
Yeah, it really is, especially with Jeff Green being out. Yep. I mean, Jeff was really an integral part of what they had going on, and without him in the lineup, now you have Blake, who's been playing really good basketball. You know, his physicality is something that the Nets really didn't have, especially going up against stronger power forwards. And so, yeah, to see him have his reemergence now in his career and complimenting these superstars, I mean, he knows his role. You know, he's not the old Blake Griffin, but he's been able to just be effective out there.
If you were working with the Bucks or Giannis, what would you – let's say, assume they lose this series to Brooklyn. What would you do with him in the offseason? Obviously, you're going to have him working on his outside shot, but would you try to teach him a low post game? Or, like, what would your advice be with him? Because obviously this isn't working.
Yeah, I think with Giannis, you know, you kind of got to force him to take jump shots. And the same thing with Ben Simmons, right? The guys are open, and they're just, you know, that with the game in the court being as spaced as it is, you can't pass up those opportunities. So I would literally play a little short three-on-three games with them and make them shoot jump shots and just make them just get used to taking shots. The other thing, too, is his passing needs to get better. He needs to be able to watch more tape and study the game and just look for the open man and be able to make the right reads. He's out there sometimes not knowing who's open. You have the ball in your hands the vast majority of the time when Milwaukee has the ball, but he doesn't know who to find when they're open. And so his passing needs to improve. We see this with other superstars in the NBA, and he's definitely one of them.
Let me ask you about tonight's game. You know, not surprisingly, the Bucks came, jumped on the Nets. They had some poor shooting, the Nets, couple sloppy turnovers. It was 30-9 Milwaukee. The last score I see is 33-30 now,
yep.
Milwaukee. I mean, if the Nets were to come back from this slow start and beat them or run them out their own gym or whatever, I mean, what would that do for Milwaukee? I mean, they almost have to win this game, don't they?
They have to win. They have to win both of these home games. I mean, it'd be over in five if they don't win both. And so that's what I'm saying is Milwaukee is in a bind. This is a must-win game for them. And then game four is the same way because you're not going to go to Brooklyn and win.
Right.
So, you know, it'll be over in five if you don't win both of these games. And they know that. And they have to play well. And so now Brooklyn is back in this game. And, you know, there's Giannis now taking the three. So it's the same to watch a guy who's so talented but yet so limited with his offensive range. And now teams have just figured him out in the postseason. And it's man, the Nets win this game, it's over. Series
Kerry,
is over.
I know you played against Michael Jordan and the Bulls in the playoffs. I think that may have been your first playoff experience, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, second in the league, correct.
So, obviously, you go in knowing, I mean, we'll do our best, and I'm sure you believe to some degree that you can win when you start the series. But does there become a point in most series when you kind of know they're just better than us? And both teams may know, look, this is the best team? Or even if you're down 3-0, do you feel like as a player, hey, we can still win this thing?
I don't know. I think it depends on the matchup. I think it depends on which team seems to have the consistent advantage. You know, listen, with all the coaches are really smart in making adjusments. And if you're trying a bunch of different things and it's still not working and they're still effective against you and you're still fighting that uphill battle, you're down 8-10 points, you're losing games by double-digit leads, that shows that they're probably better than you. So you could be down 3-1 and think that you have a chance, but if they're beating you consistently with things that you've been working on and practicing and shoot around and studying the game, it's an uphill battle. So, this series is going to be a testament to can Milwaukee score enough points with their role players around Giannis to keep the court open. They've been battling Giannis pretty good in the paint. He's not having all those open layups and dunks like he usually has.
Right.
So they're making him earn it. His free throw shooting hasn't been great.
Right.
So I think the Bucks are really in for uphill road here. And this is without Harden and without Jeff Green, two
crazy
integral parts of the Nets lineup, not even playing in it just shows you how good the Nets can be.
Let me ask you, you mentioned Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen came out. He's got a book coming out. And I don't know if you've heard some of what's in it. And he was the leader. And he
was the real leader.
He was the real leader of the Bulls. And without him, Jordan wouldn't have won any championships or whatever the book was. And that's not to take anything. We're not trashing Scottie Pippen, who was a great player, top 50 player of all time. But it just seems like, Kerry, like, he didn't like, I guess, the way he was portrayed in the documentary.
Neither did I, but go ahead.
And he just seemed like this is a bad look for Scottie. I don't get bashing Michael Jordan when you won 6 championships and, you know what I mean, and what went down. Do you read it any other way, or does he have a point? Or Chris and I missing something?
I mean, look, I don't know exactly what his words are in the book and how he's portraying his role within that team. Was he a leader or not? I mean, I don't know. From playing against the Bulls, I could tell you that everything was ran through Michael Jordan, right? Everything. He right. called the shots. You know, he was the leader of that team, whether he was vocally in guys' faces or not, in practices or not, I don't know. And so I'm not sure what Scottie's trying to accomplish by writing this book, or whether he's actually taking a jab at Michael, which I don't think he would do. I think he has a lot of respect for Michael, both as a person and as a player. And we all know that team was Michael Jordan's team. I mean, why would he say right. that? It's right. crazy to me. You know, that's his point in the book, is to prove his value. We all know it would have been very, very hard for Michael Jordan to win championships without Scottie Pippen.
No doubt. No doubt.
Right, right. Great stuff, Kerry, man. We appreciate it.
Yep,
and,
thank you.
And we will talk to you next week. I'm still waiting for your text on your theme song.
I got to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we do need that.
I'm on it. I'll do that.
All right, brother. That's Kerry Kittles, former NBA veteran.
What score you got over there on that streaming?
I still got 33-30 Milwaukee.
What is 33-31, 4:25 to go. So Milwaukee has how many points? 3 points in the second quarter?
If the Nets go in at halftime with the lead, Rob, it could get ugly.
Wow.
Like, they could blow them out. You know what I mean? I mean, we'll see. Look, maybe Milwaukee's got that type of resiliency, but my goodness, how deflating would that be?
From where they
you
were,
jumped
right?
All over them, and now they're coming back on you? Man. All right. Anyway, it is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, and we got a sneak peek at this week's Inside the Parker podcast, and it's coming your way next. Keep it locked, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And, of course, looking at baseball, Googate is alive and well, folks. And Rob, on Inside the Parker, this week's edition, which drops every Thursday, you talked to pitcher C.J. Nikowski, former pitcher, and you guys got into that. This was interesting stuff. Here we go.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast former left-handed pitcher C.J. Nikowski. You're the perfect guy to talk about this, you know, pitching and what's going on in baseball. We know we're at a record rate of more strikeouts than hits. I mean, it's just an incredible phenomenon what's happening this year. We've seen all these no-hitters. CJ, you know, Jacob DeGrom has like a ridiculous ERA that we haven't seen since Bob Gibson. And they had to lower the mound, you know, after Bob Gibson. So where are you on this and the whole spinning the ball or putting foreign substance on the ball? And then we had Garrett Cole yesterday, who basically was asked about putting foreign substance on the ball and said he didn't know how to answer the question. Help me out. What kind of answer was that?
That was amazing, really. And I watched that, and my heart sank from a little bit. Because here's the thing. There are things that have been accepted within the game, even though they're against the rules. No two ways about it. That's not a surprise. But to get flat out asked that question the way that Ken Davidoff did in that Zoom, and to see his reaction, there was a lot of silence. There was a lot of pauses in between words. And, you know, he said, without saying it with his words, I think we all kind of knew exactly what the answer was to that question. And I'm not a big fan of yes or no questions. Like, I always want to give a guy an opportunity to talk through it a little bit more. But there had to be a yes or a no in there somewhere, and there wasn't. And so we were left to draw our own conclusions, and I think we all probably drew the same conclusion. Going back to what you were talking about with 1968 and Bob Gibson and thinking about how ridiculous pitchers were, so much so that they had to lower the mound. Yeah, the strikeout rate back then was about 15%. You know, basically plate appearances that ended in the strikeout were 15%. That number is now 25%.
Wow.
It was 10% worse from the strikeout standpoint when we lowered the mound since 1968. Just to give fans an idea of just what a difference it really is when it comes to putting the ball in play, and Major League Baseball has shown us in the past they're not afraid to make some changes to the rules to try to even things out.
And how common of a practice is this? I mean, without giving up secrets or naming names, I mean, how is this going on throughout Major League Baseball, and is this the norm rather than, you know, the anomaly?
Yeah, listen, it always has. It's very difficult to put a number on it. I'm always careful to do that. We tried to do it with the PED era, and I was even surprised, quite honestly. Like, I had an idea maybe where we were, and then as things started kind of falling apart, I was like, oh, wow, it's probably more than I realized even when I was playing. So I can tell you that, you know, I threw my last pitch in January of 2012 down in the Dominican Republic, and we were certainly still using it then. I'd use fine tar at different parts of my career, struggling, you know, maybe with grip or just wanted to get my curveball to spin a little bit more. Maybe I was just struggling on the mound. So I'd go through phases. I wouldn't call it an everyday, all the time thing. And I'd say that's probably the case for a lot of guys. And weather does play a role. I was talking about trying to pitch in Chicago in April. It was tough. It was really tough. You know, to be able to get a grip on the baseball was a real challenge in those spots. And so definitely, you know, I would look for something to help me, whether it was firm grip, whether it was some pine tar, maybe it was some other concoction. I mean, you know, players would try anything to keep the dream alive and to continue to stay in the game. So it's difficult to put a number, but I will certainly say and feel comfortable saying more common than uncommon.
All right. That was about half of our conversation with CJ Nikowski. If you want to hear the rest, he was really good on this. Make sure you check out the podcast, Inside the Parker, on the Herd Podcast Network. And right. As Chris said, it drops every Thursday.
Did you see what Pete Alonso said?
No.
For the Mets. He said he doesn't want the pitchers to have to stop using whatever it is, spider tack, glue, right, whatever they use. Because he said the last thing he wants is a pitcher not having control of his pitches.
Of the ball,
he's throwing
100
miles an hour, and he's got no control. He said, well, that's the last thing you want to see as a batter, because, you know, you can get hit or whatever.
You get hit in the face, Chris. It'll change your life. You know
what
I mean?
And what he said, Rob, he sent some major allegations toward Major League Baseball. He said that the real problem is that Major League Baseball will juice or deaden the balls based every year. So if there's a lot of big-time hitters who are free agents, this is what he said, who are free agents coming up, they'll deaden the ball. So their numbers won't be as big. This is what he said.
Now, I don't know if is that calculated, because that didn't stop Manny Machado. That didn't stop Tatis. Do you know what I mean, Chris? I get it, but I don't know if that's the case. Tell me who didn't get a contract. You know what I mean?
Well, like, they might be getting contracts, but were there Machado, if I remember correctly, his numbers weren't humongous before that year he got them. You know, before
no,
he got
no,
that
but
contract
I'm just saying, but it didn't stop them from getting paid is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, check it out, because it was interesting what he said. All right, we got an hour left. It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio. You know what to do. Lock it.